Time is 3:07 and you are tuned to KTLO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon for Monday. Time to call is right now at the Fledge of Support, 586-3636 or 1-800-478-3636. And speaking about money, we have people in the studio here today to talk about UAS Career Night for people interested in the career of accounting tonight at 7 o'clock at the UAS Egan Library, room 104. Also on cable and online, Vicki Williams from the UAS faculty and Linda Day from the Division of Legislative Audit. Thank you very much for coming down to the station today.
Thank you for having us.
So the schedule for tonight is start the 8 o'clock. Actually, first of all, we should talk about what a degree in accounting is like. What do people have to take to get a degree in accounting?
Okay, I guess I'll take that one. This is Vicki Williams. I teach accounting out at the university, and I'm the chair of our accounting program. And an accounting degree, if you want to be a professional accountant or want to become a certified public accountant, you really need to be looking at our 4-year bachelor's degree in accounting, which has all your general education requirements, English, math, and all that, plus many courses in accounting to teach you the different types of accounting, income tax, financial accounting, a lot of business classes.
Do you have to be good at math, or is it more theories?
You should be good at math. Usually, if you're good at math, you like accounting, so that helps.
What kind of career can one expect in accounting, Linda?
Pardon me?
What kind of a career can one expect in accounting?
Well, I'm with Division of Legislative Audit, and for us, it's auditors, and we do three types of audits for a Division of Legislative Audit: financial, federal compliance, and performance audits. So we have a lot of positions opened currently where you can actually become a certified public accountant through our agency.
Is being an accountant a good career?
Yes, very good career. I've been in over 15 years.
Is it a rewarding one, monetarily speaking?
Relatively. I think our agency is pretty competitive. I think in recent years, though, it's been very tough for us, especially with the private sector. But for entry-level auditors, we're pretty competitive.
And the career night is going on tonight from 7 to 8 o'clock at the UAS Egan Library, room 104. It's also on cable and online. What is the schedule for tonight, Vicki?
Well, we've got three different organizations being represented, and we're focusing on accounting, the CPA career. There's a lot of different careers in accounting. There's tax accountants, there's fraud accountants, there are accounts payable people, a lot of different careers. So we're focusing on the certified public accountant tonight, and part of becoming a CPA, you have to have experience doing audits. And so the three places in our town that you can get that experience, one is Ledge Audit at the state, which Linda's from, and we'll be representing them. And she'll talk about working there. She'll talk about what it takes to become a CPA. So anybody who's interested in becoming a CPA is welcome to come and attend or watch on cable TV channel 11 in Juneau or streaming video over UATV on the UAS website. We're also going to have Bridget Lujan, who is a tax partner with L.G. Rayfeld Mertz CPA firm here in town, come talk about what their firm does and the opportunities for accountants in their firm. She's also going to talk about the Alaska Society of CPAs, an organization that helps accountants. And then we've got Wiley Warner from Altman Rogers here in town, CPA and audit manager with that firm, coming to talk to us about his firm and opportunities for accountants. And they have offices here as well as Soldotna and Anchorage.
And why is this happening tonight?
We'll be starting at 7 o'clock tonight, Egan Library, room 104, which is referred to as our media room.
And why are you doing it?
We're doing it. Actually, Linda came to us with an idea of we need to get more people interested in accounting as a career.
For us, we've been seeing last couple of years a smaller pool of local candidates, so we're working to strengthen our partnership with the universities to increase the amount of in-state hires that we do.
Seems like there's always jobs available for accountants.
That's correct. Alaska is very fortunate that accountants and auditors have a pretty good market for it.
Right. What kind of things can one expect? Is it hard and demanding, or is it kind of an easy class?
Well, when you
are... Are you a tough teacher?
Am I a tough teacher? Well, you probably need to ask my students right about now. I teach all levels of accounting at UAS. Right now, this semester, I'm focusing on what we call intermediate accounting, which is known as the toughest accounting class. And so just to give you an example, I gave two exams recently. One, the class average was 75%. The other one was a little bit lower than that. So C is normal in my class.
You are tough. Is happening tonight at 7 o'clock? Anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
I think that's pretty much it. Like I say, we're open to anyone. It could be parents of high school students who may be thinking about a career in accounting. They don't even have to necessarily be planning to come to UAS. This is what it takes to become an accountant, a CPA in the state of Alaska. So parents can watch on TV or come out. I think we have one of the high school accounting classes coming out to join us tonight. Can be people who are not even taking accounting classes but thinking about a career change into accounting, because they see jobs always in the newspaper.
Does that still involve a four-year career degree?
If you want to become a CPA, you actually have to have 150 college credits. But what we sometimes see at our university is we see individuals who may already have a bachelor's degree in another field. We've seen people come through that have a nursing bachelor's degree or a fine arts bachelor's degree, and they decide they want to become a CPA. And so they can come to UAS and take accounting classes that will prepare them to sit for the CPA exam. So if you've already got a bachelor's, you don't have to get a completely second bachelor's. You can just focus on accounting classes. If you don't have a bachelor's, then you do need to get a bachelor's degree.
And everyone should enjoy their job. What's the most fun thing about your job, if I use the word fun correctly?
Learning about the different aspects of government and the different state agencies that's out there. And it's amazing how many divisions and programs there are out there. So I think it's very challenging and very interesting to learn about all the facets of the different parts of government.
And Vicki Williams from the University of Alaska Southeast faculty, and also Linda Day from the Division of Legislative Audit. Thank you for coming down and talking about careers in accounting. Again, that starts at 7 o'clock until 8 o'clock tonight at U.S. Egan Library, room 104, also on cable. And what cable channel is it?
In Juneau, it's on channel 11. And if you're outside of Juneau, you need to go to the UAS website, look at UATV and see our cable listing. Or if we don't get cable in your town, you can go to that same website, UATV, on UAS Online, and look for live streaming video.
All right. If they can't make it tonight, is there a phone number people could call for more information?
Yes. They can call our general numbers at the School of Management at UAS, 796-6402. We will actually be taping tonight's presentation and rebroadcasting from time to time.
All right, Vicki and Linda, thank you so much for coming down the station today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
When I was just a child, my life was oh so simple, and the ways of the great world seemed strange and funny. Then when I was a young man, I learned of that machine. Turns out all those bales of precious money. Thank you.
time is 3:17, and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon during our membership drive. You can call out with your pledge of support, 586-3636 or 1-800-478-3636. Studio with me now to talk about Family Caregiver Information Series and part of National Family Caregiver Month are Jetta Whitaker and Valerie Gamble of Houston. Thank you for coming down the station today.
Thank you for having us, Jeff.
Thank you for having us.
First of all, tell me about the Senior Information and Caregiver Information Center, please.
Well, the Senior Information and Caregiver Resource Center is a subset of Southeast Senior Services designed to help both caregivers with their caregiving journeys and seniors with their quests for information. So if you're one or the other, just give us a call, 463-6177, and we'll help you sort out where you need to go or what you need to do.
And you've got a variety of workshops that are happening?
We do. As part of National Family Caregivers Month, we have four remaining trainings. We had one already with Alaska Legal Services last Tuesday, and the rest of them are on Tuesdays at noon at the Mountain View Apartments Community Room. Tomorrow, November 8th, is Tips for Providing Excellent Personal Care, and Valerie's going to talk about that one.
Nancy Davis will be our presenter for how to provide excellent personal care. Nancy will talk about the importance of what you need to have in your medicine kit at home, addressing wounds, and basically just what to do about skin care issues and how to safely maneuver into a bathtub with a bath bench.
And then on November 15th, we have Preparing for Long-Term Care, Understanding Your Options.
Yes, we will have the people who run the Wildflower Home and the Pioneer Home in to talk about their waitlist criteria and the differences between both and basically what you need to do to get on the waitlist for both of them.
And then on Tuesday, November 22nd, we have Doug Bridges, our own Southeast Senior Services coordinator, who will be discussing lifting and transferring, how to do it safely so that neither you nor your loved one will get hurt. All sorts of products and approaches and attacks to the situation of getting into the car or getting out of the car or getting up out of bed, and it'll be a very much a hands-on training. It was very popular when we offered this last year, so we thought we'd have him back. And then we're going to close our series on Tuesday the 29th with self-care to improve your caregiving. Swarupa Toth, a local yoga instructor, and Mary Zapansky, who is a certified holistic nurse, will show us how to relax to be better caregivers, because often we're under a lot of stress and pressure, and also what techniques and tips you could, as a caregiver, apply to your loved one if they are anxious or frantic, how to kind of self-soothe. So it's a great series at noon at the community room of Mountain View Apartments at 895 West 12th Street.
Are you in charge of these workshops?
Well, we're in charge of finding the speakers. We take lots of notes.
And they are free to the public.
Right. Who are they for, generally?
The caregiver population in Juneau, by caregiver we mean unpaid family caregiver. It's not really talking about child care, daycare, but people who have loved ones, usually elders, though they can be people with disabilities who are younger than 60, tend to be adult daughters and about ages 50 to 60 is the profile, but anyone's welcome if they think this information will be useful to them. A lot of people are unpaid family caregivers for parents who live in another community or even out of state, or the family caregiver may live down south, but the parents still live here, so it's a whole information sharing office.
Generally, what are good things to remember when you're a caregiver?
Valerie?
To take good care of yourself, to ask for help when you need it, and every day is a new day. It's important to remember that yesterday was just a practice.
There you go.
And do you have a phone number? Is that East Information and Caregiver Resource Center?
It's 463-6177.
Anything you'd like to add? I might have forgotten to ask.
Don't forget to come down to the series. We do have snacks available, but brown bag lunches are welcome if you want to get more food than snacks. And they're parking at the Bill Ray Center behind the Senior Center. Come in through the back door there.
And?
Yes.
And we have a Medicare Part D workshop going on at CERC on
Thursday the 10th from 10 a.m. to noon. If you're computer savvy and you want to learn how to do Medicare Part D on your own on your computer, we're going to have computer training, having it at the Adult Ed Center, so people can sit down with their list of drugs and their Medicare card and be walked through how to choose a Medicare prescription drug plan. Thank you for reminding me.
And thank you for coming down to the station today.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
Is this information online?
Yes, it is. This flyer should be posted to our website, www.ccsjuno.org, by the end of today.
All right, Jada Whitaker and Valerie Gamble Houston, thank you so much for coming down to the station today.
Thank you, Jeff.
My tears are falling, 'cause you've taken her away. And though it really hurts me so, there's something that I've got to say. Take good care of my baby. Please don't ever make her blue. Just tell her that you love her. Make sure you're thinking of her in everything you say and do. Take good care of my baby. Now don't you ever make her cry. Just let your love surround her, paint a rainbow all around her. Don't let her see a cloudy sky. Once upon a time, that little girl was mine. If I'd been true, I know she'd never be with you. So take good care of my baby. Be just as kind as you can be. And if you should discover that you don't really love her, just send my baby back home to me. Well, take good care of my baby. Be just as kind as you can be. And if you should discover that you don't really love her, just send my baby back home to me. Take good care of my baby. Well, take good care of my baby. Just take good care of my.
The Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 7th of November, 2011. It's the birthday of Leon Trotsky, the Russian revolutionary, born in Ukraine, 1879, one of the leaders of the civil war that overthrew the Russian Tsar and established the communist state. Later wrote many books about Russian history and Marxism, the book Literature and Revolution in 1924. It was Trotsky who said, learning carries within itself certain dangers because, out of necessity, one has to learn from one's enemies. It's the birthday of Billy Graham, the evangelist born on a dairy farm near Charlotte, North Carolina, 1918. Went to Bob Jones University, Florida Bible Institute, Wheaton College in Illinois. Became pastor of First Baptist Church in Western Springs, Illinois. Began his citywide gospel campaigns there in Western Springs, and in 1949 he went to Los Angeles and set up circus tents and held a series of revival meetings. He preached behind the Iron Curtain, several Eastern European countries. He opposed segregation, became friends with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and he refused to join the moral majority of the religious right, saying, I'm for morality, but morality goes beyond sex to human freedom and social justice. It was on this day, 1917, the Russian Revolution took place, led by Vladimir Lenin, who had been in exile in Switzerland. April 1917, he crossed the border back into Russia, went underground. He had to go around in disguise to attend a meeting of the Bolsheviks in late October, but he persuaded a majority of his party to launch an armed takeover of Russia, and the coup met almost no resistance on this day in 1917. The next day, Lenin was elected chairman of the Council of the New Soviet Government. And it's the birthday of Albert Camus, born in Mondovi, now Drayon, Algeria, 1913. Father died in World War I. Mother raised her two sons in a working-class neighborhood of Algiers. They lived in poverty, a tiny apartment. But the boy was smart. He got scholarships to good schools. He also contracted tuberculosis at the age of 17, which he struggled with for the rest of his life. Author of several novels, including The Stranger, The Plague, The Fall. In December 1957, was awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature and died about 2 years later on January 4th, 1960, in a car crash, driving back to Paris from Provence. He'd bought a train ticket to go back to Paris, but his friend Michel Gallimard offered to give him a ride back in an expensive sports car. And with Gallimard at the wheel, the car swerved off the road, an icy road, and hit a tree. Here's a poem for today by Linda Paston, November Rain. How separate we are under our black umbrellas, dark planets in our own small orbits, hiding from this wet assault of weather, as if water would violate the skin, as if these raised silk canopies could protect us from whatever is coming next. December, with its white enamel surfaces, the numbing silences of winter. From above, we must look like a family of bats, ribbed wings spread against the rain, swooping towards any makeshift shelter. November Rain by Linda Paston, from Queen of a Rainy Country, published by W.W. Norton and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by Constant Contact, combining the power of email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on your clock. ConstantContact.com. And by Novo Nordisk, for nearly 90 years committed to innovation in diabetes care. Learn more at novonordisk-us.com. Produced by Kathy Roach, written by Betsy Alistair. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Time is 3:31, and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Coming up this weekend is going to be a series of films shown made by Alaska Robotics here. And in the studio with me now are three people behind Alaska Robotics, Lou Logan, Aaron Stirring, and also Pat Reese. Thank you for coming down the station, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yes.
So, in a few words or more, tell me what exactly Alaska Robotics is.
Go ahead, jump in. Robotics is what we do. We make short films, and we make comics, and we post them on the internet, and that's probably the easiest explanation. We're tied into the Jump Society Film Festival, and we... like to just make and screen short films and encourage other people to do the same.
Yeah, lots of short creativity.
Do you have a mission statement?
No.
Afraid not.
Make movies.
Have fun.
What's with the screening?
We have just created our second DVD. Our first one had about 15 films on it, and this one has about 47 tracks on it. And so in a celebration of our second compilation, we're doing a big screening on Saturday night at the JDHS Auditorium on the 12th. And this is actually the first time we've done a screening of just our films. We've always done them as kind of a collection with other people's films. And so it's exciting for us to go back and look at the films we've made over the last, I don't know, what's it been, 10 years or so, pick out some of our favorites and screen those.
So you come out with a second DVD?
Yeah, so we've got two DVDs, and the second one is coming out this weekend, and
It's our launch party.
Yeah, so this is kind of a big celebration of that DVD release.
One of my favorite videos that I've seen produced by you folks is the Town versus Valley.
And we will be screening that this weekend.
That will show on Saturday.
Definitely
for sure.
One that it hasn't been screened in a while, so it'll be fun to see it on the big screen again.
Because it's usually on the little screen on people's computers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Even on YouTube.
Yeah, and you can see most of our films online. There'll be some new stuff and some things that people probably haven't seen at this screening. And it's going to be it'll be a feature-length show, and then we're going to have an after-party sponsored by KXLL and Mandy's at the Breakwater, and we're going to have some music, live music by George Kuhar and Bridget Cross, Playboy Spaceman. So it should be a fun night.
Yeah.
That's fun. What's the process for a typical film, if there's such a thing as a typical film?
Well, we get the idea, and then 6 months later, we eventually make something. Then 5 years later, we put it on a DVD.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything typical about the way we work, but yeah.
For Aaron, we just keep bugging him to finish his stop motion. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's a typical process. I think it's very atypical, and it's mostly just trying to find the time to make something. It's something that we do in and around the other things. We do a lot of commercial work as Lucid Reverie, and so Alaska Robotics is the fun side of that. It's the stuff that we're doing for ourselves.
How did business get started?
The business got started because I wanted some work experience so I could go work at like an animation company or something, and I decided that the only way to get work experience was to start my own business because no one would hire me.
If you look closely on our wall of papers and documents, you'll notice a couple rejection letters.
Yeah, several. Yeah. But and then I just kept doing it and grew to realize that I really liked being in Juneau, and there wasn't really any reason to go to California or Washington or anything. I just like being here, and so it became what it is.
And the Town versus Valley videos are about 5 or 6 minutes long.
Yeah, that's probably right.
But a lot of the ones I've seen are very short, like
they range from 30 seconds to 10 minutes. Most of them are less than 10 minutes. I don't think we have any that are over that.
No, because we generally work within the jump frame in that framework, and we require films to be less than 10 minutes. And so all our films fit so that we can say that other people need to make theirs fit too.
I want to go back to my question earlier about the process. Since someone usually have an idea and then passes it by the other people in the group, and then they start producing, or is it kind of like a group process from the initial beginning of it?
I do a lot of the writing, but sometimes it's just observational. Sometimes it's a matter of someone says something funny, and we either write it down or remember it at the right time, and then it becomes like a movie.
And sometimes we go off and just do our own thing, too.
Yeah, it's like there's a lot of variation in the creation of the films. Like sometimes Aaron will lock himself
too
in his room for a month and make a stop-motion animation, or we'll just get busy over a weekend and do something.
Humor seems to be the common element.
Yes.
We like to laugh.
Yeah,
we like to make other people laugh.
Yeah, sketch
too.
Comedy, political satire are probably the ones we do most of, and then sometimes we do documentary and animation.
This is going to be a screening this Saturday night at what time again?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, and it costs $10 to get in. Well worth it at the Jim Douglas High School Auditorium. It's quite a daunting house for three guys who do videos on the side.
Yeah, I guess so. It's a big house, short films. We'll see if we can.
We hope people show up.
Yeah, we're
hoping
people
come.
All right. Is there any more information about Lucid Reverie or Alaska Robotics online?
Yeah, absolutely. Go to akrobotics.com, and we've got information about the screening, where to get tickets. You can see some of our short films, read the comics, or you can come down to the shop and meet us and see some of our work down there. We're in the Emporium Mall. And it's Lucid Reverie, and it's right in the middle on the first floor.
Do you want to explain Buyback Alaska?
Yeah, Buyback Alaska was our proposal to pool the resources of the citizens of the state of Alaska and use that money to buy back the state legislature. It was when there was a lot of bribery.
The wake of the whole Vico scandal, when they bought out a whole bunch of
more
state
obvious bribery.
Yeah, and so we thought that we would just divide it up, and it would be a lot cheaper if everyone chipped in like $15. We could pay the legislature to work on behalf of the citizens of the state of Alaska.
We could even pay them more than what they were getting from Vico.
So that was our proposal there.
And
I still think it's a good idea.
Can we mention this on the air, Nipplefire?
Oh, yeah. Wait, there's a film Nickelfire. Yeah. That one's a lot of fun. It's kind of like, it's a band that isn't very successful. And,
so they have to resort to gimmicks. Remember Gwar? They had a gimmick, yeah.
Yeah, they dressed up like beasts.
Yeah, so some bands that aren't musically inclined have to do other things like...
like light their nipples up.
Yeah, conflagration of nipplage.
Yeah, so that was a, I would classify as a comedy.
We will show that one.
So we should ask, is this a family-friendly show?
It's, I'd say PG-13. There's a couple, there's probably a couple swear words, but there's nothing really...
I don't think
really,
there's any worse than that, though.
Nothing really graphic or, you know, not really anything too sexual.
Yeah,
or,
I'd probably even say PG.
Yeah, PG, PG-13.
Is Snarfloxing on this one or the old one?
If, we probably won't screen it, but it's...
okay.
It, it was on the first one.
Yeah.
When that one might not be good for kids.
But. When you're working on films, do you ever, has anybody ever come up with an idea that just the other people say, no way?
Usually it's not that obvious. Usually what will happen is, like, I'll come up with something, and I'll say, hey, well, I get all excited, and what? How about we do this film? And then I just won't really get an answer, and that's the version of no way.
You just ignore him, he goes away.
Films of Alaska Robotics. Saturday night at 7 o'clock at the Juno Douglas High School Auditorium. Where can people get tickets?
They can get them at our office or online at akrobotics.com.
And the door, too, if you can't make it, right?
True.
All right. And phone number, website?
586-3440 for the phone number. And Aaron put the together website. I can never remember it.
Just akrobotics.com. There's a link to get there.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
Oh, yeah. akrobotics.com.
It's a tough one to remember, Lou.
You've exceeded Lou's question quota for the day.
Thank you very much for coming down, Pat Race, Lou, Aaron Suing, and Lou Logan. Thank you for coming down the station.
Thanks for having us.
Pat Race.
This is Bird Note. Days bring flocks of American robins to feed on fruiting trees and berries. Remember last spring when robins sang this lovely song? Could the robins you're seeing now be the same robins that nested in your garden last spring or spent the summer pulling worms from your lawn? Robin populations shift and change during the year. Some robins do stay as year-round residents. Others spend only the winter, having nested farther north. During autumn, still other robins pass through in waves on their way south. This hodgepodge of robin populations makes it hard to know where the robin you're seeing now spent the summer. In the early 1800s, John James Audubon had similar questions about a bird nesting in his garden, an eastern phoebe. He caught the bird and tied a string around its leg, probably the first example of leg banding for research. Would it return the next year? It did. Like Audubon's phoebe, the American robin that nested in your garden last spring will likely return to nest there again. And when it does, you'll hear its cheery song. To learn more about resident, wintering, and migratory robins, find us on the web at birdnote.org. I'm Mary McCann.
Time is 3:41, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. We can call out right now with your pledge of support by going to 586-3636 or 1-800-478-3636. Talk to volunteers from the Juneau Douglas City Museum who are here answering the telephone. I should say the friends at the Juneau Douglas City Museum, a great organization that you can belong to as well. I can give you more information about that. In the studio with me now is Daniel the Dinner Bell, Daniel Choquette, who offers private chef services. Daniel, thank you very much for coming down the station today.
Thank you, Jeff.
So how did you come up with the name Daniel the Dinner Bell?
It was actually kind of a fun ring around the dining room table with some family and friends, and it's kind of the best way that we had, it had the best ring to it.
And what exactly do you do?
Basically, I'm looking to be a personal chef for individuals and families within their home, whether you're busy working or are in town on session, or are kind of just looking for a little help, especially as the winter approaches and we're running out of daylight, and so you can have some, get some time back that you can spend with your loved ones over the holiday season by having prepared food ready for you at your house, whether it be ready to take to lunch, prepackaged, ready to go, or when you get home, different options to serve your family and friends for dinner.
So you do everything? You do the shopping, you do the cooking, you do the cleaning up?
Yes, I do.
And do you bring your own utensils?
I will. During the initial interview, I'll go through your kitchen and kind of just see what you do have on hand and what I need to bring with me.
What kind of background do you have?
I've been working. I finished culinary school at the California Culinary Academy in 2006, graduated with Cordon Bleu, and then I started working on cruise ships for several years, and I've been working as a chef at the High Life in Seattle for the last 3 years. I decided to switch it up a bit. The goal is to be a private chef on yachts, so I thought this would be a fun way to kind of start getting some experience catering to specific families and individuals.
How do you go making up the menu?
Well, I've put together a few sample, like master menus of things that are in my repertoire, and I'd sit down with the client and see what they really prefer and what things spark their interest, and develop a menu around that. Obviously, doing the grocery shopping, they would be paying for the groceries, so I'd like to focus on cross-utilizing that product so it's more efficient and cost-effective.
Tell me more about the shopping experience.
The shopping experience? I would basically just plan out a week worth of food or whatever you're looking for, whether it be 2 to 3 meals a week or 5 meals a week, whether it be the main entree, side dishes, desserts. I'm catering for different individuals and what they're looking for, how often they're looking to have meals prepared for them. And then I would kind of just run through and do all the shopping at one time and come to your house and prepare all the food for that week, all within one session.
Tell me more about a sample menu.
Okay. Basically, I have them kind of separated out through different proteins because I am looking to cater to individuals with dietary or health needs, needs or wants, what they're looking for, if they have any restrictions, and working along those lines, see what they're accustomed to having. Obviously, Juno is kind of limited as far as pricing and availability, so that's also a factor that we'll take into account. What's seasonal, what's on sale right now, I'll kind of come in knowing, because I already do a lot of grocery shopping for my own family, cooking for them every day. So I'll have an idea of what's on sale, what we can work with.
What are some of your favorite things to cook?
Anything sauce-oriented. I really enjoy all ethnic cooking and just basically building everything up from scratch. It's always been a lot really fun going into the winter season, just having different soups and salad fixings and nice comfort foods, but all built from scratch, to your preference of heat, of course. And
tell me about the interview process.
Well, I basically meet you at your home and go through the different master menus with you, whether you're looking for, if you are looking for a dinner party or an appetizer party, perhaps a weekend brunch party. I have different menus that I've put together of things that I really enjoy cooking and are comfortable with and have a lot of experience with. And we can just go through those one by one and see what you get excited about, what you feel like having or serving. And then we'll work from that. Of course, looking to see what kind of equipment you have on hand, serving platters, whether or not, if I am doing catering to your family throughout that week, I would see what kind of Tupperware you have on hand, what kind of room you have in your freezer, your fridge, and either going out and buying a Costco size of, you know, the different sizes of Ziploc containers or whatever you're more accustomed to, whether you prefer microwaving or finishing things in the oven or comfortable with some stovetop finishing. Basically what you're accustomed to and what you're comfortable with. And then I'll best cater to that as far as leaving you with simple reheating instructions.
Is this for couples who want a small romantic dinner or for larger
Absolutely.
Scale parties?
Absolutely. Now, coming into Juneau, I haven't lived here. I was born and raised here, but I haven't lived here since 2002. So I kind of wanted to have a versatile approach as far as what I'm offering. So private dinner parties, romantic dinners for two. I basically want to appeal to all Junoites and then get a, you know, feel for what people are actually looking for and needing in this town and kind of working my services around that.
And the big question is, what do you charge?
Well, I suppose that would be very different. I'm going to do an hourly rate as far as for private parties, the appetizer parties, but also, and then just do a weekly custom rate according to what you're looking for, how many meals you're looking to have prepared for you, and how long the process is from planning the menu, buying the groceries, and through the cleanup. So for private parties, it would be an hourly rate for how long that's actually taken me. Of course, that all depends on how many people I'm preparing for. And as far as the custom weekly rates, that would also be with how many people I'm feeding and how many meals.
All right, Daniel Choquette, Daniel the Dinner Bell, offering private chef services. Anything like that I might have forgotten to ask?
Well, you can contact me. I have a local phone number that I just got. It's a 957-2845. I also created a Gmail account, Danielle the Dinner Bell, is all one word. And so that's the best way to reach me. And then we can talk about what you're looking for and build off of that. And then I can be better prepared with what the rates would be. And we can go over the different options.
Danielle, thank you very much for coming on the station today.
Thank you.
Market to our homes or gardens where we grow our own. What do we say before we eat? Bon appetit. I used to think that food came out of boxes, bags, and jars. But then I learned it really comes from gardens and from farms. It also comes from water like the ocean and the sea. It journeys to our tables where we say bon appetit. Bon appetit.
Bon appetit.
Bon appetit.
Bon appetit.
That we eat from farm to market to our homes or gardens where we grow our own. What do we say before we eat?
Bon appetit.
Some foods begin as little seeds that farmers plant in spring. Seeds need water and the sun to do their growing thing. Season later, fields are filled with veggies, fruits, and grains. The farmer did the work, and we all get to say, bon appetit,
bon appetit,
bon appetit,
bon appetit. We're thankful for the food that we eat.
From farm to market to our homes or gardens where we grow our own, what do we say before we eat?
Bon appetit.
Into the boat and ride to shore that day. The best fish will then make it from the ocean to your plate. Bon appetit.
Bon appetit.
Bon appetit.
Bon appetit. We're thankful for the food that we eat.
From farm to market to our homes or gardens where we grow our own. What do we say before we eat?
Bon appetit.
A box or a jar of something tasty. I try to think about my food instead of being hasty. Where to come from, how to grow, and how to get to me. Around the world and back again.
Bon appetit. Bon appetit.
Bon appetit.
Bon appetit.
Bon appetit.
We're thankful for the food that we eat. From farm to market to our homes or gardens where we grow. What do we say before we eat? What do we say before we eat?
Bon appetit.
Brand new CD that arrived at the station here just a couple of days ago. Time is just about 4 o'clock. You are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. We broadcast to 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We also broadcast on these translators. In the Valley and Auk Bay Area, tune to K276AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Switzer Creek, K269AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201AM 88.1. K220BT0 Sona at 91.9. An excursion into the Nice Street. You can hear KTOO on K210AS 89.9. In Juneau, you can also receive KTOO on GCA Cable Juneau on digital channel 871. KRNN can be heard at digital channel 872, and KXLL can be found at 873. Also online at www.ktuo.org. Coming up tomorrow on a Juneau afternoon, Matt Moore will be your host. He'll be talking to Jill Lachaney, the AFN Culture Bearer Award this year from the Alaska Federation of Natives. Also, Dr. Lane Shorter will be here to talk about grief and death issues in hospice. Ken Fix will be here to talk about the planetarium presentation on Helios and the Aurora tomorrow night. We'll learn about the Marathon Club at the Floyd Dryden. It's happening tomorrow night at 3 o'clock on a Juneau afternoon. Weather forecast for tonight, rain showers becoming mixed with snow showers later on. Forecast for Tuesday, cloudy skies with a chance of rain and snow showers. High temperatures 37 degrees. Tuesday night, rain likely. Wednesday looks like mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain. Studio with me to encourage you to call with your pledge of support is Andy Klein. Andy, thank you very much for going down the station today.
Hey, well, you know, I kind of have to, right? Like you, I have to come down to the station. But people who don't have to come down to the station but have been coming down to the station has been great. We've been people have been coming in person to do pledging, and that's been fantastic. So we thank you, for those of you who have just come down at 360 Egan and given your pledge of support. But we're asking people to call in during this pledge drive at 586-3636 or go online at ktoo.org. And you can make your pledge of support online as well. As you know, Jeff, we've got these redesigned websites. They're really kind of nice to look at. And you've got a little thermometer on the side even that shows how we're doing on the pledge drive so far. And I know we've raised over $8,000 so far, and that's great. Terrific beginning for a Monday, but we've got a little ways to go. We have to raise over $70,000 during this week while we're on air.
We'd like to thank some of the people and groups that have been showing up to help us answer phones for the drive so far this afternoon, especially the Alaska Brewing Company, the Juneau Douglas City Museum Friends, and also coming around here is the Juneau Community Foundation. They're ready to take your pledges of support, and they can do that when you make your call at 586-3636 or 1-800-478-3636. We've about a minute to go before we go to All Things Considered. Time for you to go to your phone or computer and make that pledge of support.
Absolutely. There's a lot of people to thank as well who contributed during the quiet drive. And so all the folks, including Kim Garnero and Tristan Knutson, Lombardo, who called in, thanks to those folks and lots of other people who called in. We'll be thanking them during All Things Considered as well. And Sally Smith and Amy Skillbred are with us during All Things Considered. We're going to be talking to them, and they'll be joining us and talking about why they support public radio. The important thing is for you to call in right now and give us a pledge of support. 586-3636, that's the number, or go online at ktoo.org.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. It took a 12-member jury panel less than 9 hours to convict Michael Jackson's doctor of involuntary manslaughter in the singer's death, the jury determining that 58-year-old Dr. Conrad Murray was responsible for using a powerful operating room anesthetic improperly to help his celebrity client sleep, that an overdose of the drug propofol led to his death. NPR's Karen Grigsby Bates has more.
Prosecutor David Walgren kept hammering on over and over again, this doctor who was supposed to be looking out for his patient's best interests, his patient's welfare, infused him or injected him or gave him this drug that had to be closely monitored and then left the room. And that was apparently enough to convince the jury.
NPR's Karen Grigsby Bates. Murray, meanwhile, showed little reaction as the verdict was read. He faces up to 4 years in prison when he's sentenced later this month, as well as possible loss of his medical license. A fourth person has come forward to accuse Republican presidential candidate Herman Cain of sexual harassment. Sharon Biolik telling reporters that in 1997, Cain reached under her skirt and sought to push her head towards his lap. The woman had been fired from her previous job with the educational arm of the association and was trying to get another position. At the time, Cain was the association's CEO. Biolik says it's time the candidate comes clean on what happened.
Mr. Kane, I implore you, make this right so that you and the country can move forward and focus on the real issues at hand.
Violet appeared with her attorney at her side in New York today. Three other individuals have also alleged sexual harassment on the part of the candidate. Kane has denied the latest accusation. Americans picked up their borrowing in September. The Federal Reserve says consumer credit rose by almost $7.5 billion. But as Danielle Carson reports, the numbers behind the headlines show most of the borrowing was picking up in select categories.
Taking on more debt usually means people are spending more, which is good for economic growth. But September's report on consumer debt shows installment loans, especially for student loans, drove most of the increase. Gregory Dako, an economist at IHS Global Insight, says that means
families are having a harder time to finance the studies of their children. So although the headline number may indicate things improved, if you dig into the details, you'll see a picture that is less bright.
Shoppers aren't whipping out their plastic as often. Credit card purchases fell for the third consecutive month. Dako says people are still being cautious about loading up on high-interest debt in a weak economy. For NPR News, I'm Danielle Carson in Washington.
Concerns about the European debt crisis weighed on world markets, so U.S. markets closed higher today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up 85 points to close at 12,068. NASDAQ gained 9 points, ending the session at 2695. The S&P 500 rose 7 points. You're listening to NPR. The fallout from allegations involving an assistant football coach at Penn State has now brought down the university's vice president as well as the school's athletic director. Resignations of VP Gary Schultz and athletic director Tim Curley came as the pair made their first appearance in court where they faced perjury charges and failure to report abuse. The resignations follow this past weekend's arrest of former assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky, who was taken into custody Saturday on charges he allegedly sexually abused young boys. He's accused of sexually abusing 8 boys over a 15-year period. Schultz and Curley are accused of lying to a state grand jury investigating those complaints. Internal investigations at the State Department are looking into the permit process for the controversial Keystone XL pipeline. It would carry Canadian oil sands from Alberta to refineries in Texas. NPR's Richard Harris has that story.
The State Department ended up being the lead federal agency to review permits for the pipeline since it crosses an international boundary. And the department has come under fire for the way it has handled two key documents, the Environmental Impact Statement and the National Interest Determination. Senator Bernie Sanders, independent of Vermont, and 13 Democratic members of Congress asked the State Department's Inspector General to review the process. Among the questions they ask is whether the contractor who conducted the Environmental Impact Statement has a conflict of interest, and whether the State Department fully considered climate change and the risk of oil spills in its assessment. The Inspector General says it will review the process to see if it complied with federal laws and regulations. Richard Harris, NPR News.
U.S. regulators are defending a $285 million settlement with financial giant Citigroup. Government says it's a fair penalty for the company to pay on charges that misled buyers of a complicated mortgage investment product, part of the collapse of the housing market. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org.
The General World Affairs Council presents its 2011 Fall Forum, The Politics of Global Climate Change, November 10th through 12th. Forum topics include climate change and economic justice. Is long-term climate policy politically feasible? Climate change and national security, and bringing it home, the Arctic. Admission is free, and the forum convenes each day at the UAS Egan Library. For further information, visit the General World Affairs Council's website, jwac.org.
And that's just one of the great things that's happening in this community, and we're a part of the great stuff that happens in this community, too. Sally Smith is with me as well. I'm Andy Klein. Hi, Sally. Thanks
Hi,
so much for coming
Andy.
In.
I love coming in for this. It's when we get really reconnected with our community.
That's true. You know, we're obviously just to introduce it to folks who are listening to All Things Considered. I'm Andy Klein, and this is the Fall Pledge Drive for KTOO at the time when we ask you to give us a call at 586-3636 or go online at ktoo.org and pledge your support through a financial contribution to keep the station going. And you're right, Sally. You know, this is a time people call it the Begathon, or they call it, you know, the Pledge Drive. Oh, the Pledge Drive is
but
on.
But they listen.
But you listen, and this is a time we feel like it's an opportunity for us to really connect with our audience in a way that most other media doesn't have that direct connection with the audience, and it's what keeps us accountable to our audience. You know, these pledge drives are the times when we hear directly if we're doing a good job or not.
That's right, and we hear from people what they want to hear more about or less about. So that gets rolled into the mix of what they get to hear for the next 6 months.
Absolutely. And we're hearing headline news. We're going to go on to All Things Considered. But I do want to take a moment to recognize that what we just listened to for the last hour was Jeff Brown doing a Juno Afternoon. One of the institutions of this radio station is that show and is Jeff Brown himself. I've been privileged to work next to Jeff Brown for a number of years now, and it's been great. And to kind of learn next to him has been really a privilege and an honor. And if you're someone who appreciates Jeff and has appreciated his contribution to the community, now's a great time to give us a call right here. 586-3636 is the number to call, or go online at kto.org.
And that is an excellent thing to do. I mean, showing our appreciation for Jeff. After all, the state has now recognized him with a Lifetime Achievement Award. So why wouldn't we say thanks, Jeff, and thanks to the community, and thanks to the station, because it's all right here, right at our dial.
And if you're someone who's a news junkie, I know you are.
Yeah, well, you know.
All Things Considered is something that really, maybe, you know, you kind of feel like not just listen to, but really depend on. It's something that if you miss it, you feel out of sorts, you don't know what's going on in the day. And also the in-depth coverage that they do is something that's really valuable. And they're doing a series right now on poison places, and this is a really fascinating thing. We're going to go to it in just a moment here. But this is a story about a small town trying to fight against federal and state regulators and make sure that they're living up to the Clean Air Act. And that's one of those things where citizens having to defend themselves totally fascinating thing, and something that every now and then communities come up against.
And an opportunity for you to go to your phone and dial 586-3636 and make a pledge to keep these thoughts coming. I often listen so that I am ahead of the curve when somebody calls and says, did you hear that story?
Yeah, absolutely.
And sometimes I'm even quick enough that I've looked up more information through my own databases to be able to respond.
586-3636, that's the number to call. You can call in right now and let us know that you want to keep great programs like All Things Considered and all the programs you hear here on KTOO, including Juno Afternoon, on the air. We've got operators standing by. 586-3636, that's the number to call. Go online at ktoo.org. And now over to All Things Considered.